You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 23rd of December 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I do apologise if you've tuned in to hear from Grandpa Dan. He is taking a Christmas break from Radio Albion at the moment, but he will be back next Friday for the Daily Nationalist, and I don't think we're going to have a Parish of the Patriots from him next week either, so that will be back in the new year. And we do have a bit of good news to begin with today, and we are going to be talking about transgenders once again, because that is the main topic of news, particularly after yesterday. At the time of recording the Daily Nationalist, the Scottish Parliament had still not actually passed that bill, but they have now passed the bill which will allow 16-year-olds to just declare themselves to be a woman if they are a biological man, with no help from doctors, nothing whatsoever, and they will then be allowed into women's spaces, women-only spaces, which of course is a safeguarding issue. Well, the news that I want to get into today is from Sweden. Swedish health authorities have officially broken ranks with the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH, with the announcement that gender clinics will no longer be attempting to perform experimental sex changes on under 18s, but will instead offer psychological support to help youth live with the healthy body they were born with. That is absolutely fantastic. That's what we've been saying here at Radio Albion for years, that this is what needs to be done. We need to be encouraging these people to be happy in the body that they are in, not encouraging them to believe that if they mutilate their body, they will be able to magically turn into the opposite gender. We need to be looking at the reasons why people think that they might be born in the wrong body as well. But encouraging them to be happy in the body that they are in is exactly what we should be doing. And this is wonderful news that Sweden are now doing this. It's a bit distressing how far this actually went on before countries started to say, well, we're not really sure this is actually helping people and we should stop, as we will see here. This WPATH organization, the World Professional Association for Transgenderism, they are now starting to push some really, really quite incredible ideas, non-scientific ideas, quite twisted ideas in actual fact. It's a shame things had to get that far before Sweden said, look, we're just not going to continue with this anymore. According to an article published in the Swedish medical journal Läkartidningen, new guidelines will be published before the end of the year advising against puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones and surgery for under 18s. This is in direct contrast with the WPATH Standards of Care No. 8, SOC 8, released earlier this year, which advises affirmation and medical intervention as the first line of treatment for gender-confused minors. Which is effectively saying that if a minor is confused about their gender, you have to affirm the opposite gender to the one that they are actually born into. It's called gender-affirming care, and it effectively means that if somebody has the delusion that they're born into the wrong body, the doctors are supposed to go along with that delusion and refer to them as if they are the opposite gender to what they are. And this is really written into law as well, that we have to affirm the gender that somebody identifies as, which is what causes a lot of these problems, I think, because doctors don't want to be accused of being transphobic, which is what will happen if they say, well, you might have autism, you might have anorexia, you might be bipolar, you might have body dysmorphic disorder. I mean, most of the people that do identify as trans as children are actually autistic. So there are all different reasons that could be leading to a misdiagnosis of gender dysphoria in the first place. And doctors are unable to suggest these possible other diagnoses, because if they were to do that, they would not be affirming the gender that the child is presenting as, and then they would be accused of transphobia, and there could be lawsuits. So that is something that does need to be changed. I'm not sure whether they have those same laws over in Sweden. It does seem that they have better free speech laws, in actual fact, in Sweden than we actually have in Britain. Also in Britain, the Tavistock Clinic is apparently now going to be encouraging psychiatric help for gender confused minors instead of encouraging them to take cross hormones. As a whole, the new guidelines will be more reasonable than the previous ones and advocate a great deal of caution with irreversible interventions in healthy bodies, as we know that some will regret it, writes paediatrician Mats Reimer. He explained that puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones will only be available to youth in the strictest of clinical trial settings from now on, given the extremely weak evidence for their use. So they've been doing this for some years now, probably about 10 years now that they've been doing this to children. And the actual evidence that it helps is extremely weak. There was just one study that was done in Holland with about 40 people, and it wasn't followed up afterwards. I think they just listened to what they said for the first year or something similar. It's quite incredible that a whole area of medicine has just been based upon something with such weak evidence. And you really have to question whether it's to do with the profit motive, because if somebody's going to have to take the opposite gender's hormones for the rest of their life, that obviously means they have to keep taking medication for the rest of their life. And they are also going to have operations if they want to look similar to the opposite gender. They're going to need a lot of operations, a lot of very, very technical operations. And a lot of the time, these operations don't actually work out how they're supposed to. So then you have to go and have another operation to get it fixed. Of course, all these operations, again, is a huge line of profit for the medical industry. So the fact that there is such weak evidence that this actually helps, and yet these doctors have been doing it, it does tend to infer that there is something else that's going on here. So you have this profit motive, but you also have these transgender activists who are very, very vocal in promoting the idea that it would be better if children were allowed to do these sorts of things rather than people deciding to do it at 18. So you have two factors there, I think. You have the profit motive, and you also have how vocal the activists are. And I guess then you would have people or organizations, corporations that fund these activist groups, because they know that it will cause confusion in society, and it will weaken the bonds that we have between each other in society, and we'll be less likely to form a resistance to what's going on. Reimer said that the previous Swedish guidelines were based upon the WPATH Standards of Care 7, but when the internationally respected professional association released its Standards of Care 8, debate broke out amongst Swedish doctors over the removal of all lower age limits and the inclusion of eunuch as an innate gender identity that even children can possess. And it looks like the removal of all lower age limits was because they wanted to prevent doctors from being sued, and they wanted to do something with insurance. We'll get into that in a bit as well. But the inclusion of eunuch as an innate gender identity, I mean, a child that wants to be castrated, I mean, quite clearly, that is a serious psychological disorder. And to encourage that, and to encourage them to get castrated, means to encourage them to mutilate themselves. It's horrific. And yet they're saying this isn't a psychological problem, it's a gender identity. It's a gender identity that you want to be castrated. I mean, it's absolutely horrific. It has to be every father's worst nightmare that that their son would be castrated. And yet that is effectively what goes on in a lot of these cases, not just with the eunuchs, but with these biological males that are then encouraged to believe they're female by the mother, and the mother puts them forward for these operations. I mean, this happened quite famously with I believe the child was called James as a male, but he was also called Luna by his mother, and the father was estranged from the mother, and he said that the child identified as a boy when he was with the father, and identified as a girl when they were with the mother, and the mother was putting them onto this pathway for castration, and the child was only about 7 years old, I think. Quite a horrific case, and it's obviously not just going on in that instance. It's going on quite a lot. There's been a massive increase in the number of children that are identifying as transgender, and that are being encouraged to get themselves castrated and get themselves to have an operation. Of course, a eunuch just gets the castration and doesn't actually have a secondary genitalia created for them by a doctor. They just end up being castrated. It's just absolutely horrific. It's the sort of thing that it's what Arabs used to do to their black slaves, wasn't it? It was something that we had at the most decadent part of the Roman Empire. They had eunuchs and people that have been castrated. It's absolutely barbaric. And to say that this is a gender identity, this is an identity that a child can have, is absolutely horrific. Among the many people who benefit from gender-affirming medical care, those who identify as eunuchs are among the least visible, reads the opening line of chapter 9. Eunuch individuals are those assigned male at birth, as if you cannot actually tell what sex a fetus is. I mean, don't they have these gender reveal parties where they reveal what gender the child is going to be from after having an ultrasound? Apparently, we're supposed to pretend that that doesn't exist, and that people are just assigned their sex or their gender when they're born. Eunuch individuals are those assigned male at birth and wish to eliminate masculine physical features, masculine genitals, or genital functioning, it explains. So they basically seek to mutilate themselves. I mean, this is self-harm, isn't it? That's what it is. I mean, if a child is talking about they want their genitalia to be cut off, there's a serious problem there. It's not their identity. As with other gender diverse individuals, eunuchs may also seek castration to better align their bodies with their gender identity. As such, eunuch individuals are gender non-conforming individuals who have needs requiring medically necessary gender affirming care. So this is the world's authority on transgenderism, which is saying that children that desire to be castrated, we should humour them in that and we should castrate them. Like other gender diverse individuals, eunuch individuals may be aware of their identity in childhood or adolescence. The experts in transgender healthcare continue, due to the lack of research into the treatment of children who may identify as eunuchs, we refrain from making specific suggestions. Well, they've already have made a specific suggestion, haven't they? They said that they need medically necessary gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care means humouring them in this and saying, yes, you must be a eunuch, and we should set things up so that you can be castrated. And don't forget, when they're talking about children here, they're talking about before they've actually had a growth spurt as well, before they even know what it means to have a testosterone level in their body, which is provided by their gonads, basically. And these are children that don't even understand that. And they're saying, oh yes, you have this identity of being somebody that doesn't have gonads, somebody that is a eunuch. I mean, it's just incredible that anybody could think this was a sensible suggestion. I mean, I guess I'm glad they're making it in a way, because it's caused the Swedes to say, well, we're going to stop all of this now. And I hope there are more countries that do this. an internationally respected and supposedly scientific body referring to children who identify as eunuchs is concerning in and of itself, but even more so when looked at in the context of what the guidelines refer to as contemporary eunuch-identified people. While there is a 4,000-year history of eunuchs in society, healthcare professionals are told, the greatest wealth of information about contemporary eunuch-identified people is found within the large online peer support community that congregates on sites such as the Eunuch Archive, which was established in 1998. So, of course, they're suggesting that children that self-identify as being eunuchs, they should probably be directed to this website. And when you follow the hyperlink to eunuch.org, it takes you to a site with a warning: if you are offended by adult material about castration, do not enter. I mean, it's quite obviously it's an adult topic, isn't it? And yet they're claiming that children can have this identity. WPATH recommends eunuch.org for more information, where a person can view a selection of adult fiction, including stories about the castration of males at various ages. In other words, child castration pornography. I mean, this is child abuse that is on this website. Child abuse. And here we have this, the largest transgender organization that is basically gives advice to the medical industry, and they're promoting child abuse. Eunuch Archives hosts over 3,000 pieces of fictional child pornography that details the rape, torture, and killing of children. In some narratives, children with stunted puberty are raped by doctors. In others, children are castrated by force as part of a sadistic sexual torture ritual, reported Redux earlier this year. Redux seems to be doing a lot of good work at exposing this. They're saying children are fantasizing about this. I mean, if a child is fantasizing about this, I would say there's probably some abuse there, isn't there? They've been abused, and they have the result of that has been serious psychological problems if they wish to be mutilated in such a way. One of the listed contributors of the Standard of Care 8 is Thomas Johnson, PhD, who, according to Redux, has for over two decades participated in the fetish forum Eunuch Archives that hosts and produces extreme sadomasochistic written pornography involving the castration and torture of children, and whose academic interests advocate for expanding the concept of gender identity to include men with sadomasochistic and even pedophilic castration fantasies. So the doctor who is hosting this, or one of the contributors of this Eunuch Archive, he promotes pedophilia, and now we have this transgender organization saying that children can have this as an identity of being castrated, of being a eunuch, and what we should be doing is putting them on a pathway to castration. Aside from adding eunuch as a gender identity option for children, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health has also removed the minimum age for puberty blockers and hormones as long as the child has reached Tanner stage 2, which can be as young as 9 years old. So they putting them on these drugs, which will lead to their bones crumbling away, which will lead to them never actually, even if they stop taking them, then they're never going to go through puberty in the way that they naturally should. We're doing something that has never, ever existed in the history of the world here to these children. And you have to wonder whether part of the promotion of this is pedophiles that want to have effectively people that are over the age of 16 but still look like children because they've taken these puberty blockers. So they're over the age of consent, yet they still look like children. I mean, that's another sick side to this. Chest masculinization surgery, i.e. double mastectomies, can be considered in minors, they say, and vaginoplasty may be considered for under 18s. Vaginoplasty, I think that's when they create a neo-vagina, And if the child has been taking these puberty blockers, then they don't have enough genitalia for them to reverse that, to make a neo-vagina. And surgeons then have a much more difficult process of doing this, where they cut the skin off from the arm, I think, and then they use parts of the digestive system. I can recall reading a horrific story of one of these detransitioners who then had hairs growing inside them, and they also had problems that you get with the digestive system that they were then having with their genitalia. Because they had taken these puberty blockers, and then they, when they got to the stage where they were expecting a doctor to be able to create a neo vagina for them, they weren't actually able to use the genitals because the genitals hadn't actually grown in the way that they do when a male goes through puberty. I mean, this is just horrific what we're doing to our children. The guidelines also recommend that healthcare professionals treating adolescents involve parents in the assessment and treatment process, unless their involvement is determined to be harmful to the adolescent. So they cover themselves there. What they're effectively saying is if parents don't agree with it, then just go ahead with it and don't tell the parents, because the parents might not agree with it. And of course, that's going to be harmful to the adolescent, isn't it? Especially if they're using transphobic language. So they sort of cover themselves by saying the parents should really be told, unless you think it's going to be harmful to the patient. Amy Tishelman, who identified herself as the lead author of a chapter in the new guidance regarding children, said, "We were thinking, and it was scary for me, about the potential uses of the chapter for legal and insurance contexts. What we didn't want to do was create a chapter that would make it more likely that practitioners would be sued because they weren't following exactly what we said." She added, "We wanted there to be some clinician judgment without being at risk for being held in court for not sticking completely to these standards. So we did write them in a way, I think, so that there is leeway, that we recommend things, but we suggest that clinicians use their judgment about what to do in therapy situations and assessment situations so that they can use individualized clinical judgment and not face malpractice suits." So the way that they wrote all of this was basically to encourage doctors to go along with it, but it was written in such a way that the doctors could then not be sued by these detransitioners, by these children, when they grow up and realize that they were lied to and they couldn't actually change into the opposite sex, and what they've been left with is a mutilated body and no help from the medical industry, and their former community of transgenders then ostracize them and threaten them. And it's horrific what these detransitioners are going through. Nobody is really speaking up for them in the mainstream. They just pretend that they don't exist. Tishelman added that they didn't want the guidance to be so loose that insurance companies wouldn't cover the procedures and treatments, deeming them unnecessary. So they also had to be careful of the wording so that these insurance companies would still pay for it. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, that's the Republican representative over in America, has proposed legislation that would prohibit gender-affirming care on minors and offer civil protection to minors that receive these procedures. So this is good that she's doing this, but will it get passed? That's the problem, isn't it? You have a lot of support for all these transgender operations on children from the Biden administration. The Protect Children's Innocence Act would make the pharmaceutical gender affirmation of minors a Class C felony, a crime punishable by up to 25 years in prison and accompanied by a £250,000 fine. The bill would also stop taxpayer-funded insurance plans from paying for these treatments and would bar schools from providing instructions on these practices. So from that, you have to infer that schools are providing instructions to children on taking pharmaceuticals to stop them going through puberty. That's what they're talking about here, rather than these operations. Medicalized gender transition procedures include the blocking of puberty, taking cross-sex hormones, and surgical procedures like mastectomies, vaginoplasties, phalloplasties, facial reconstruction surgeries, and more. So it does include these operations, these mutilations that they are carrying out on these children. They would be banned as well. The proposed legislation states that minors would not be held liable for undergoing surgeries, instead that the minor would have recourse against each person who performed the gender-affirming care. And that's what's missing at the moment. These detransitioners, they're not able to sue these doctors for mutilating them and destroying their lives, basically. I mean, they're not able to ever enjoy sex. They're not able to ever have a libido. Their bones are all messed up and weakened, where they haven't been having the normal hormones in their body. They've been taking the opposite hormones. Some of these kids, they get to the age of 20 and they effectively have bones that are as weak as if they were 90 years old. And they have all these micro fractures in the spine. We don't really know what the long-term effects are of delaying puberty and then taking the opposite sex's hormones. With the redefining of eunuch as an innate gender identity that even children can have, paediatrician Matt Zuraima, as well as many other experts, believes this to be a sign that WPATH is not a scientific organisation, but instead is an activist group. Had this been published anywhere other than in a supposedly scientific article, it would have been thought that it was satire, said Zuraima. The fact that the National Board of Health and Welfare's updated guidelines should no longer be based on such an obviously activist organisation as WPATH is, of course, welcome. It is extremely welcome. We just need to see more countries doing this now. In Swedish healthcare, child psychiatry will continue to be responsible for treating those under the age of 18 who experience gender incongruence and suffer from it. The care will now primarily consist of psychological support to help the youth live with the healthy body that they are born with, Zuraima concluded. I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. That is exactly what they should be doing, encouraging them to be happy in the body that they are in. And a part of that should be getting rid of all this gender-neutral teaching that they have in schools, where they say, well, we can't talk about this because this is something that only the boys can do. You want to be talking about things that only boys can do so that the boys are happy being boys. And the same with girls. You want to talk about things that only the girls can do with the girls so they become happy with being girls. This idea that you shouldn't have anything that is linked with gender is just going to lead to more gender confusion, more gender dysphoria. Why would you want people to be dysphoric? Why would you say that dysphoria is something normal? It's an identity. It's not. It's a psychological problem that is getting worse, that needs to be treated in the way they are suggesting here, by encouraging the youths to live within the healthy body they are born with. Sweden is not the only country changing course on the treatment approach for children who are experiencing gender-related distress. Finland became the first nation to abandon the affirmative model of care in 2020 when an independent review of its paediatric gender service found the evidence for affirmation and puberty blockers to be of extremely poor quality. England followed suit earlier this year, also after an independent review of its youth gender service. The controversial Tavistock Clinic will be closed next year and regional centres set up that are better equipped to deal with the complex mental health needs of this vulnerable cohort of young people. And I really do hope and pray that they actually do that and they do start encouraging these children to be happy in the bodies they are in. I mean, looking at the wording of it, it could be that they are setting up these clinics to just continue doing what the Tavistock Clinic was doing, because one of the things they said was it's a problem that it's all centralised, it's all in London, and we need to have clinics based all around the country because there are such a high number of children that are claiming to be transgender now. So it could be that that's what they're doing, rather than actually changing the whole way that they deal with this. We'll have to see what happens. It does seem that people are optimistic that this is the interpretation of it that they will be going with, that they will be giving these children psychiatric help rather than encouraging them to get mutilated. France and New Zealand have taken similar approaches, and several Republican states in the United States have passed or have proposed legislation aimed at bringing an end to what one pediatric neurosurgeon recently called an extraordinary medical atrocity. Meanwhile, WPATH and the gender-affirming model of care continue to enjoy the support of President Biden, Assistant Secretary of Health Rachel Levine, and all Democrat states. And of course, Rachel Levine themselves is a transgender. And as a recognition of the fact they are a transgender, Biden promoted them to being an admiral in the Navy. So you have all this promotion of transgenders simply for the fact that they are transgender. People make such a fuss of them, talk about how courageous they are. And that in itself encourages youngsters to want to be like that. There has yet to be an official statement from WPATH regarding Sweden rejecting its guidelines. But last month, WPATH released a statement condemning the changes proposed by England's National Health Service. Responding to the proposed change that the primary intervention for children and young people would instead be psychological support, WPATH called it alarming and outdated gatekeeping. And remember, they want doctors to recognise eunuch as an innate identity within a child. I mean, it's absolutely scandalous what this organisation is promoting, but it's fantastic news that Sweden have rejected it, and it does look as if England is no longer going to be doing this as well. And we can but hope that they do really help these children to be happy in the bodies that they are in, and stop telling them that it's possible for them to actually change sex when it isn't. Well, thank you very much for listening today to a rather tasteless subject. I will be back next week with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. And of course, I do hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.